Can the Fantastic Beasts franchise be saved? And is it even worth saving to begin with? We answer those questions and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. I am your host, DJ Wooldridge. With me, as always, is Roxy Schreier. And we have a very special guest today because we're going to be talking about fucking goddamn Fantastic Beasts and what to do about it. And with us today is Jaina. Say hi, Jaina.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jaina.
So for those that might not know you from writing Hellbent with me and creating Hellbent with me and the other stuff you've appeared on, who are you?
Well, I'm the person who made DJ who he is today. I am pretty much like his first best friend in his life and just gave him the fire. No, he was doing great. I think if anything, he probably rubbed off on me. But we basically, I am your friend for over 20 years.
Yeah, long time. Easily my longest friend.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, and then I think Ken is probably our next for both of us, but
yes.
Our meeting friend. But basically, so we've known each other for a long time. We went to church together. I might bring up something from that later on.
Yes.
Because I think it's relevant to this.
It does pertain.
Yeah, there's at least one thing that pertains to this. And basically, I have, in the ensuing years, I came out as a trans woman, and I got licensed as a counselor, and I live in Portland, Oregon, and I work here as a counselor for a lot of LGBTQ people, and I follow a lot of LGBT people online and have opinions that are their opinions and are also my opinions.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting too. It is when you're friends for as long as we have been, it is one of those things where it's like, who did this start with? Jaina? Did this start with D? At this point, who's to say? It's just, we've just been in each other's lives for so long. It's just, it is what it is. There's no way we haven't had an incredible impact on each other. And I'm thankful to have you here for this discussion, because I've been kind of candid on the show that I wasn't quite sure how to talk about these movies, other than I don't particularly like them all that much. Beyond any of the moral conundrum, these aren't my favorite movies. But we're going to be getting into that. This is, of course, is the show where we talk about movies, TV shows, and comic books. Roxy, how are you doing today?
My tea is at a really good temperature, so I feel like whenever you have one of those days, it's going to be a success.
Yeah, I always feel like, because I'm not a tea person, I'm not a coffee person, and I feel like when everybody hands me like, hey, here, this is good, and it's always way too hot for me because my mouth isn't prepared for it.
You have about a 4-second window.
Okay.
Where it's not too hot, not too cold. Perfect. And then it's chug season.
Great. Know? Sounds like a chore, but okay, good. I'm glad your tea is at a good temperature. For those that are just joining us for the first time, that would be the case. You of course can
wild.
Listen to, yeah, we're 300 episodes. That's crazy. But thank you for being here. Of course, you can give us 5-star reviews on iTunes, please, and thank you. Please subscribe, please share with your friends. If you're on Spotify, we ask a question every week. Last week's question was, who is your favorite video game mascot? Stormy Wood said, I would go with Yoshi. Does the dog from Dog Hunt count? Because that dog was a jerk. When you missed, my knowledge of video games is very limited. I am of the opinion that if they've shown up in Super Smash Brothers, they count as a mascot. Jaina, do you have a favorite video game mascot?
Yeah, you know, Yoshi's actually a really good choice. I'm already thinking, I'm like, is there a better one than that?
I think
Diddy Kong's great as well. Mm-hmm. Diddy Kong's really nice.
Diddy Kong's good.
Fun representative. And I think also Samus Aran from Metroid.
Yes. You know, we had Emma on last week and she mentioned Samus. And I just played Metroid Dread. And that game gave me fucking PTSD. That game was so fucking hard, and I feel like gamers, when I say like it's hard, they're like, it's not that hard. It's like, oh, for me it was fucking hard, okay? It was a fucking pain in the ass. I also, talking about Yoshi, I just flashed back to when Jaina, when you and I were playing Smash Bros, and there was one of those challenges where you had to hit targets, and I remember I did Yoshi's in the most complicated way possible, and you were like, well, you could just smash through this wall, and I was like, oh.
you could just hit this really hard.
Fuck. Through the wall. Story of my life, making things more complicated than they are. Of course, also, if you love this show, and we thank you for loving it, you can go over to patreon.com/onlystupidanswers for more. You can listen to Roxy and I's after show where we talk about what we're into. You can watch the show live in the video form. And you can also check out my show with Sal, Spider-Versity, where we talk about all the Spider-Man movies. And this last one that's out now is Let There Be Carnage. We talked about Let There Be Carnage, and boy, was it a journey. Before we get into our main discussion today about Fantastic Beasts, let's do a little bit of news. So, for those just tuning in, Discovery bought Warner Brothers. What does that mean? Good fucking question. I don't fucking know. They were AT&T, and now it's Discovery, and I don't know. But apparently, the execs over Discovery are like, hey, let's make our DC movies Marvel. We want our DC movies to make the money that Marvel movies make as consistently. That would be nice. And so I pulled a couple quotes from this article. One insider suggested that Zaslav was less interested in finding a creative guru and more eager to hire someone who had the type of business background needed to keep the different factions of DC working harmoniously. Oof. Harmoniously. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Discovery believes that several top shelf characters such as Superman have been left to languish and need to be revitalized. I wonder what gave them that idea. They also believe that projects like Todd Phillips' Joker are a shining example of how second build characters from the DC library can and should be exploited. Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn was another opportunity, though Birds of Prey missed the mark. I would say Birds of Prey struggled because, you know, a pandemic, but, you know, whatever.
Are we calling Joker a secondary character?
They did. One of their most popular characters has to be linked literally every Batman project. There's like the Joker's going to show up in Batman comics like every month forever into infinity.
Well, I would just argue he is the only villain in all of Marvel or DC, frankly, that is a household name.
Yes.
I mean, like Grammy and Popo know who Joker is.
Yeah.
They don't know who Thanos is.
You mean B-lister Joker? I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, what a weird way to describe your own dude, like your own star. You know, it's not like Marvel was throwing swords and was like, Joker's a B-list character. Mm-hmm. Like DC was like, our second tier
character. Our second tier character. Listen, it's Batman and Superman and then everyone else. All the rest.
That is what that did make that sound like. I was a little confused on all of these reports, DJ. I don't know whether it was just me for the kids at home, for those of you guys who decided on the 300th episode to watch for the first time. Mm-hmm. I hosted a show called DC Movie News for 7 years. So I felt very in the trenches with Team DC for a really long time. After coming out of the trenches, I am less involved in like the day-to-day little decisions that DC makes, but I'm still a massive diehard DC fan.
Yeah.
And I don't know what this means. I read like 15 articles on this to try to decipher what's actually going to happen here, because other than some date shifts, which are the only tangible things that the article was talking about, and some of those date shifts had already been announced.
Yeah.
I don't know what y'all's plan is. You know, I feel like after the Ezra Miller of it all, mm-hmm, and the rumors that they had to have an emergency Ezra meeting because we don't talk about Ezra, no, they were like, okay, now we're gonna tell the public that we are having meetings and we're gonna tell them exactly what those meetings are about.
Yeah.
By not telling them at all what they're about, like whatever our actual decisions are. We're just going to kind of like float some things. And again, look at them for their reaction. So this was an interesting one.
Yeah, it's one. Also, the Warner Brothers brass, when it comes to figuring out their DC movies, have as many crises as DC Comics do. Like every mm-hmm. few months, it's another like, okay, all hands on deck. What are we going to do about da da da? Like, how are we going to
insert name here? Ezra Miller, J.K. Rowling, Johnny Depp, Amber Heard. I mean, there is no shortage, and we're not getting this from our other camps.
Well, and not just that, but also like now Ben Affleck's out and Michael Keaton is in, and it's like what are we doing?
Everybody, dare I say, Zack Snyder? Yeah.
This was the thing. So the impression I got from this is like, hey, we're going to kind of like retool. Which again, how many times have we heard this? Every few months, it's like we're we're gonna don't worry guys, this time we've cracked it. But my first instinct was like, you know what, give the Snyder fans what they want, let him do one more Justice League, all Nightmare Universe, and have it, just have him, because that's where Zack Snyder excels. He's not the guy you call in to do your mainstream on brand version of these characters. He's the one that you give him if you want to just run him right into the dirt and have him do Nightmare Universe, have everybody die, have Superman do a reverse Superman 2 where he reversed the polarity of planet and everybody flies off into space and suffocates and dies. And then Flash 2.
And then close out the franchise?
Close out that version of the franchise. We're done. Do that. You do your Wonder Woman 3. Do your Aquaman 3. And just kind of shut it down. And
do
then,
you think that's what they're saying? Or this is just what your suggestion is?
That's my suggestion. I don't think you can completely do that despite all the problems. Because my thing originally, I was like, well, the only ones you need to save is you need to save Peacemaker. Oh, you just need to save keep Peacemaker safe. But then I was like, well, then Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn. And then like the Suicide Squad movie that Peacemaker spun off of is good too. And all that is part of that universe. I just feel like it's kind of, and we're going to get into this, it's kind of my feelings on the Fantastic Beasts, Harry Potter of all. Just burn it down. Start from scratch. Just scorched earth. Just get to level the field and let's try again with a little bit of a sturdier foundation. But then Shazam's good. I don't know. Jaina, you have an adult life and have an adult job and stuff like that. You don't talk about superheroes for a living like we do. But do you have any thoughts on all this mess?
So I think my main thoughts when it comes to DC are it's so disappointing that they're trying to chase like Marvel's coattails. Yeah. When I would say that if I'm picking out individual comics that have been really impactful, I would pick like DC and Vertigo comics. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of, you know, like there's some excellent, you know, Batman and Superman individuals. There's a lot of stuff in the Vertigo series that I really love. And it's just really disappointing that rather than focusing on those stories, they're trying to just do the Marvelverse,
yeah,
but like but bad, because it's not original. It's like the imitator is mm-hmm. always going to, I think, suffer unless you can bring something original to the mix, which I don't think they're really trying. Now granted, I did see the new Batman, which has a lot of inspiration from like a lot of really important comics, and I think that was actually a really good step in the right direction for if you're going to adapt DC properties.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because especially as, you know, now that the Marvel output, you know, that they own the Fox characters and the Netflix shows are now on Disney Plus, and they've really homogenized their entire brand, so the only outliers are the Morbiuses and the Venoms. Mm-hmm. It really, I feel like the limitations of, obviously, the Marvel MCU storytelling machine has really excelled in some areas, but it's the clear limitations of having one set of people dictate the entire tone of a whole universe of characters. And so the idea of like Warner's still being like, well, we need to do that. Not great.
Do what they're not doing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, tell like these individual interesting stories. Like, you know, like I even really loved your suggestion where like, yeah, just like have like this really intense, you know, like make everything non-canon so everything can be fun and interesting.
Yeah. But Roxy, so to your point, but you don't necessarily think this doesn't necessarily mean we're rebooting, retooling, rechanging anything. This is just another, we're seeing.
Unwilling to get rid of certain things, right? Yeah. Kind of for the reason that you just stated, like while Gal Gadot has actually deemed herself to be slightly problematic to some people, as Wonder Woman, I find that she is just like a household hit.
Yeah.
So they seem to not be willing to get rid of Gal.
Yeah.
They seem to not be willing to get rid of Momoa. They seem to not be willing to get rid of Margot.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the full stop list of people I feel like they're not willing to get rid of.
Yeah.
And if you're unwilling to get rid of those people, and I'm not saying they should, because I think that I think that all three of those people are fantastic.
Yeah.
If you're unwilling to get rid of them, you need to get a little silly, mm-hmm. because you would have to go as far to do something like, okay, we already shot with Ezra. We don't want Ezra in this movie anymore. Wally West, come save the day. Let's scrap 2/3 of the movie, bring him in.
Yeah.
Or Barry Allen all of a sudden is Grant Gustin. We're not even going to fucking address it. Like,
yeah. People have been saying that online. I don't think
that makes sense.
I don't think that makes sense either.
I think if you're going to just switch out the Flash, this is a great chance to bring in a different Flash. Why are you going to just stay on Barry Allen? It doesn't make sense to me. But I think they want to have their cake and eat it too, right?
Yeah.
The little areas that they have had success, and I don't mean to say little as in it's not been a lot of success. I have no idea what $1 billion looks like. to me, that would be a lot of success. But for them, what they deem to be like the areas of success that they've had, they are squeezing onto for dear life.
Yeah.
But then they're saying we're retooling. How do you retool when your pillars are staying the same?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, Jaina.
I have a question. So I know growing up, before there was a lot of like reboots and so forth, I would hear sentiments such as like, well, Michael Keaton's the only one who could play Batman, or like Christopher Reeve's the only one who could play Superman. And I feel like now we've seen that a bunch of people, just because not a lot of people have played Aquaman doesn't mean a lot of people couldn't. Right. I'm not saying we should replace them. I'm just saying like, do you think that that's still a sentiment in fandom of like, no, like this is the person, like, this is our guy, and like we have to like stick by them? Or do you think that like people are more actually maybe more open to seeing different actors play different characters?
I definitely think it's the former. I definitely think people are still like, this is the only one who could do it. We have to stick with them. And I don't feel that way.
Yeah, especially Snyder fans. If you even flirt with the idea of replacing a single Snyder cast member, blasphemy.
Yeah, and like I really like the Snyder cut. So yeah. I guess, but I can't consider myself like a Snyder fan because I'm not in the group that he's talking about. But
yeah, you're not one of the people yelling at people online.
Yeah, but I'm a fan of his cut. But yeah. I think that most people are sitting there still thinking nobody else could play this character, or like, well, you know, we'll riot. And I don't really get that sentiment, because also we're not talking about, I don't mean this to disrespect any of these actors, but it's not like we are talking about roles that are like the once in a lifetime role where you reach inside your core and you know, you are Charlize Theron playing Eileen in Monster.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about roles where it's like we're not talking about these Oscar nominated roles. Like, you're going to sit there and tell me that that Momoa, who I fucking love, is the only one who could play Aquaman?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me. So I almost do feel like I love the movies that we got, but I wonder if DC would be better off if they weren't holding on to these characters and they were just like, you know what? Let's start again.
Yeah. I think to your point, both your points. One, I'm with you, Roxy. Honestly, I feel like it wouldn't be hard to be like, introduce a Wally West, and he doesn't even need to be in scenes that Ezra Miller's in. Like, we could either deep fake an Ezra Miller, or he's just always too late. Like, oh no, I wanted to join in. And then third act, Ezra Miller's running fast. Uh-oh, he dissolved, like in Crisis Infinite Earths. Like, now Wally needs to save the day. You know what I mean? Because I do think, and now I feel like the punting Flash into next year makes a little bit more sense, in that, like, yeah, that's your opportunity to clean slate a little bit, like do a little bit of house cleaning.
But it's going to cost them a lot of money. In all, I understand as a business.
Well, and that's the thing. I think that what this is business to like, because Roxy, Jane, and I can all look at the receipts and be like, my guys, your movies are making money. You know what I mean? Aquaman's making money. Shazam is making money. The Batman's making money. Like, why are you? But it's not a machine like Marvel is. It's not where like you can literally like throw something together and everybody's going to love it no matter what's going on in it, and we're good to go. And that's what they want. And to your point, Jaina, like, that's kind of that's like the antithesis of art. Like, that's not what art is. That's manufacturing, essentially. That's, you know what I mean? At that point, you're making McDonald's, you know? Which is what they want. That's why they're called franchises. I don't know. We're going to be talking about some other more crisis meeting they're going to have a month from now, up until and after The Flash.
But DJ, can you tell me, Jaina, maybe you could tell me, could somebody tell me, anybody out there, could somebody tell me what actually is happening? You guys are unclear too, right?
Yeah.
On like,
yeah,
what
are, there's new, people in charge.
We can say what we want, but yeah, like, what is happening?
Yeah, there's new people in charge, and they're like, And that's the question they're asked. What's happening? Yeah. What's going on? What are you guys doing over there?
This was like a kind of a non-announcement.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's just my impression is like, hey, the fucking DC, Roxy, you had the show. This DC movie news fucking hits. You know what I mean? These reports of like, what's going on over there? Do well. So let's do one of those.
My DC movie news text thread was blowing up yesterday. Like, we got to get back together just to do one show on this. And that's when I started reading, looking into it. And I was like, I don't know that I have an opinion. Like, I don't even know.
And I think that's actually not a bad position to like withhold up an opinion until you have more information.
Yeah.
It's a bad thing to do.
So we're going to go on a quick ad break, and then we will be back to talk about Fantastic Beasts. Okay, we are back, and we were talking about Fantastic Beasts. Right off the bat, we have a question from Brenda from the Discord. If you guys want to ask questions in the Discord, you can do that at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. I don't know if this has come up before, but were either of you big Harry Potter fans as kids? If so, how has your relationship with the franchise changed, and were you already growing out of it when all the controversy started? And Jaina, I actually want to start with you, because I don't I know where the community we grew up in, let's say, had a complicated relationship with the Harry Potter books.
Yes.
And so I don't actually remember where you fall on all that stuff. Were you a Harry Potter fan at all?
Yeah, so yes, technically in my youth, but at the end of my youth. So basically at the church that DJ and I went to, there was a person who claimed to be a former witch. She then used her platform and intention to sort of decry a lot of things such as D&D, Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, I think Lord of the Rings, which was the silliest one, and also Harry Potter. So my parents...
Sorry, I have follow-up questions.
Go for it.
So this person at your church like stood up in church one day and was like, I was a witch, and as a former witch, these are the things I know?
These are things that I know for a fact are evil and demonic. I know for a fact that D&D is evil and demonic. I know for a fact that Pokemon... Because I'm a witch, and we use Pokemon cards to cast spells. I don't know
what... Are you allowed to have witches in church? Is that like normal?
She repented, see? Yes.
Okay. Well, this is amazing. I found you.
It's fascinating. Right?
What? This is incredible.
So
people believe her mostly in the town?
Yeah. I mean, like, she said she was a witch. So obviously she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah.
So it was like, wow. It was very like here. Yeah. It's just like a person basically like getting some 15 minutes of fame in our church was kind of big. So like, you know, like she got some attention, and
it's kind of big, like thousands of people.
How big was hundreds. Church?
Yeah. Hundreds. It wasn't, we saw ourselves as the little guy.
Yeah. Okay. But it definitely influenced like a lot of parents' decisions to decide what to expose their kids to you. So I actually got into Harry Potter because of a different person in our church who I carpooled with. Yeah. Who was like it's fine. And so I would like read on in like our drives, like I would just like start reading it. And so I did get into it about age 17. So so that was when I started reading it. I read all the books. I think the seventh one had not come out yet. So that one was like kind of a big event. So it came out like while I was had become a fan. So yeah. I gotta read that one. And I was pretty into it. I had a friend in back in Florida, you know, where I lived. That was like my writing partner, and like we would talk a lot about Harry Potter because it was just like a mutual interest.
Yeah.
So it was something I was like pretty invested in for a while. I remember like the Fantastic Beasts 1 came out, right? So I saw that and I remember going like, oh, that's okay. And then the Cursed Child book comes out and I read it and I'm like, that's kind of dumb. And so there's already like this level of like pre anything on J.K. Rowling's. And well, I guess to include her, she was making like weird tweets, like, you know, they shot themselves and then magicked away the shit. And you're like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Why are you saying this? So there was a level of like me starting to, I guess I would say it's the same thing that I feel like towards DC, right? You know, where it's like, okay, like the quality is getting worse.
Yeah.
So I'm just like not as invested in this.
Yeah.
But then J.K. Rowling couldn't shut up. So yeah. We can talk about it later, but I want, you know, I want to give the other people a chance.
Yeah. So, it is weird how, you do get rumblings. Like it doesn't, it's like there's signs where there's smoke, there's fire, I guess. Like, wait a second, hold on, something's happening. Roxy, what your history with the Harrys of Potters?
So I don't know if you've noticed this in our 4 years of doing the show together, TJ. I have movie amnesia. I like don't, movies do not stick with me the way that TV shows do.
Yeah.
This will come up all the time where we'll be talking about, like, I watch all the Lord of the Ring movies. I don't know any of the characters. I don't remember what happened. Yeah. The other day on air, it came out because I had to be explained. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
I saw them all, though. I saw all of the Harry Potter movies and I read book one and two. I know I saw them all because I called my brother to confirm. And he was like, no, because my brother's uber nerd, big Harry Potter fan. He's like, we sat down, we watched each of these movies. We've seen them multiple times. And yet I was at Harry Potter Land. Is that what it's called?
Sure. The Wizarding World.
Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, she's got to get a charger. It's within arm's reach. Hold on.
She can do it. We believe in her.
Do we believe in magic?
Yeah.
I was at Harry Potter Land, Wizarding World, and I said to them, something happened where I was like, it's amazing that Hermione and Harry were so cute. Mm-hmm. And they were like, wait, what? Like, my friends were like, what? And I was like, they were so cute. And I just rewrote that they ended up together. Mm-hmm. Like I don't remember things. So yeah. I'm going to tell you, I love Harry Potter because I love magic. Mm-hmm. And I loved Hogwarts and I loved Quidditch. And like, I loved watching these movies. I thought it was so fun. But I would not sit here and tell you I'm a super fan because if you ask me what happened,
if I quizzed you on it,
I'm clear. I don't know what happened.
Well, and it's funny. I think this is that's a good segue into Fantastic Beasts. Just to answer the question is I grew up really enjoying the books, and I think it was around the fourth one that things started to get kind of controversial, and also the books started getting longer, and that's where I stopped.
DJ, if I remember correctly, were you a maybe I'm misremembering this, but were you allowed to read like the ending part of book four?
There was a part, I think it was the part where Edward Cullen, Robert Pattinson gets killed. There was like too dark. Too dark.
I remember there was like two chapters.
Like, yeah, like, something like that. I wasn't, skip those. And then
did
like,
they read it first?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm causing a ruckus. She's causing a whole scene today.
Yeah. So my parents did like screen stuff, especially when I was younger. And like, it wouldn't have been a problem because there was a gap between books. It wouldn't have been a problem around the time book five came out. But then I saw the size of it. I'm like, I'm good. That's all right. And then later.
So you stopped reading after four?
Yeah, I stopped reading after four. And then before all the J.K. Rowling stuff. But like, was it before Fantastic Beasts? I don't know. Somewhere in the past few years.
Between one and two. Fantastic Beasts one and two.
Yeah, maybe. My wife is a huge fan of the franchise. She loves all the magic stuff. And so we got the full collection. And I'd never seen the movies. I'd never seen the movies until adulthood. And so we like binged them all. And I'm like, oh, I get it. These are fun. These are good. These are especially three. I think three and five and the last one were my favorites. I'm like, oh, these are pretty good. I get the appeal. But to your point, Roxy, of forgetting things, watching this movie, like there's a whole character like Newt Scamander's assistant. I'm like, has she been in a movie? I don't know. I do not remember. And after the movie, I think my wife's used to like when we go to these genre movies, even though she's like the bigger Harry Potter fan, she's like, what about this? What does this mean? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Is this Lestrange person related to the other Lestrange person? I couldn't tell you. They mentioned a character whose sister died and I presume the last movie. Don't remember. I remember is the feeling leaving the second Fantastic Beasts movie, which was woof. That was the feeling I had.
I remember that too.
But to be fair, I think that most people, or at least like the majority, have Roxy's experience with the Fantastic Beasts movies.
Yeah.
Like, I think most people just kind of come over like, I don't know who any of those people were.
Yeah. That animal was cute. Also, this is our segue right into Roxy and my spoiler-free thoughts. We both saw it earlier in the week. We'll keep our thoughts spoiler-free. But I feel like there has to have been a conversation between the Fantastic Beasts franchise and the Harry Potter franchise where they're like, we got to stop using animals for like all our security systems, right? Because that one magic zoologist is able to escape all our traps because he's able to talk to animals or whatever. So we got to cut it out. It's we just use animals for way too many things. We use animals to choose our presidents. We use animals to, it's too easy to circumvent.
Yeah. I really, really want to see the behind the scene footage of some of that though, with no animals there and how they are. Like, there's this one scene, this is no spoilers, but where Mads Mikkelsen is holding an animal.
Yes.
And like really holding that animal. Yeah. And I'm just, the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, what's he really got in his arms right now?
Also,
like, what is he holding? Because the way that it was too, I was like, you just know, I would be kicked off of set. I mean, I'd be hysterically laughing. Like, what is it, a jar of peanut butter? Mm-hmm. Like, what you got going on?
What do you got going on there? Also, I'm not going to get in all the drama. I just will say Mads Mikkelsen, an incredible trade up from Johnny Depp. And also the movie does not address it.
In this. No. But as a performer in this, I thought he was excellent.
He's just so good. I just think he's fucking great. I love him and everything. Also, Jude Law, handsome boy.
They're all hot. You know who I really, really dug, who I don't remember seeing in any previous movie, but might have been in all of the previous movies. And I don't know his name. The brother
Theseus.
Of Newt. Theseus, man, that guy is dreamboat.
Yeah, my wife had the same reaction. Like, that guy was pretty handsome. I was like, I agree.
Is he in the other two movies?
I think the previous one.
Might be in two.
I think he's in two.
He kind of has a big role in this. And I was like, I have no idea who this guy is.
So I think just also to before we move off of the animal thing, I will also say spoiler free. This movie also has the most horrific thing I think I've ever seen in any of these Harry Potter movies, to the point where I'm like, how the fuck is this PG-13? Because this is, do you know what I'm talking about, Roxy?
Is it related to what I was just talking about?
No, it's related to the I'll put it this way, they go into like a holding cell situation and there's a classic monster involved, and when we see what the monster does to prisoners, I'm like, how the fuck is this PG-13? This is dark as fuck.
That was wild. I still have logistic questions about
logistic questions. I just have logistic questions, period. And that gets to my overall spoiler free thoughts is, I don't know, I think this movie is better than two. I don't know that this franchise has justified its existence. Like, I don't, it just, it feels like, well, we have this brand, like when you get to the premise of the story of this movie, this is how Grindelwald ran for president, and I'm like, I thought there was a big war involved with the guy. Like, every time we talked about him in the past, it was like a big war situation. Why are we telling this story? Like, the whole movie I'm just sitting there going, like, why are we doing this?
I think that you had a very similar feeling to everybody else, because I think most people going into this movie, without giving any spoilers, most people going into this movie were under the impression that this could possibly be the final movie, even though there are two other movies. And so they were expecting a big showdown movie.
Yeah, because my understanding is the plan was, these are five movies. And then mm-hmm. Warner Brothers, I think, had the sense, was like, well, let's see how this one does.
Yeah. So this didn't end up being a big showdown movie. It's a lot of other things, but it's not like, it's definitely not the ending of a trilogy. Mm-hmm. But I, who has no knowledge of anything and was not expecting that, had a ton of fun in this movie. I really liked it. I thought that it was by far and away the best of the Fantastic Beasts movies. I liked one fine. I thought two was horrible. Don't remember anything about it, but just remember sitting in the theater and thinking like, this might be the first movie I ever walk out on.
Yeah,
I don't want to be here. Like, genuinely, you know, when you start disliking a movie, but you're a filmmaker, so you start to be like, okay, let me find the things I'm enjoying right now. What is working? Let me look at the top left corner. Yeah, like, and you literally go through every inch of the screen and you start, like, I was having a major, how do I survive the next 2 hours moment in the second movie?
Yeah.
The third movie I don't know whether it's because I already decided that I don't care about this franchise at all that allowed me to have some fun with it, or whether it was because I genuinely really like magic and action, and there was a lot of magic and there was a lot of action, and I was like, that's cool. And we did spend so – it was such an ensemble movie that anytime I would get – I never got sick of anybody because it's not like the whole time we're just on Newt or the whole time we're just on Grindelwald. You know, we keep bouncing. So I really liked it. I don't think I could sit here and tell you why this franchise deserves to exist. Mm-hmm. You know, to answer DJ's question, I don't think I have an answer to that. But I definitely enjoyed this movie. I couldn't help but every time Ezra was on screen, be thinking about like, oh boy, we are in a tough position here.
Yeah, and he also seemed super checked out.
And also, this was by far and away Ezra Miller's worst performance I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And that was a bummer because I'm like, they're clearly struggling right now, regardless of everything else. We just heard all those rumors about the Flash set as well, where they were just not okay on set. Yeah. And I'm not sitting here justifying anybody's actions. I'm just saying that I was the only person who was on screen that was pulling me out of the movie was Ezra Miller.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we got rid of Johnny Depp. We made the right call. Got rid of Johnny Depp.
Yeah, totally. And I think that, I just thought that some of the characters were really fun and I was rooting for a lot of them. I really liked, I don't know if this person was in previous movies or not, but the witch that we introduce in this movie.
Sorry, I pulled all the info, so I have that. Are you talking about Jessica Williams playing Laylee Hicks?
Yeah, I am.
Functionally replacing Catherine Waterston, who just noped her way right out of this franchise. Just like, no, thank you.
Well, that was because of JK stuff, right?
I have no idea, but...
We're a little unclear as the exact timeline, but that actress has explicitly come out and said that she does not like JK Rowling's stances on...
Good for her. I respect that.
He's probably the only Eddie Redmayne is kind of done stuff, but I'm saying actively working that has like directly said. We're not sure if it was before or after, but whatever.
Yeah, I
don't know anything about. I don't know about anything about Catherine. I didn't remember her in the movie, but it sounds like she's a cool person. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is that I really like Jessica Williams, who comes over from Two Dope Queens, and I think that. That was a pretty awesome storyline for all of the shitty things JK has done. Apparently Jessica Williams was a massive JK fan prior to knowing anything in the way that anybody who was a kid growing up was, and like met her at a bar and came running over to her, and JK liked Jessica's energy and was like, I'm going to put you in one of my movies one day or something. And then that's ended up being how this all happened. So
cool. And she's cool in it.
Yeah, I thought she was really cool. Zero love for J.K. Rowling. I think she's low-key a POS, but Jessica Williams was really good in this movie, and I was excited to see her just, like, in all her witchy glory, black girl magic, just fucking beast on people. So that was fun.
So in the Discord, Leonard Kim says, I have enjoyed the first two Fantastic Beasts movies, but the general consensus seems to be that people are disappointed. Would you want WB to remain in the era pre-Harry Potter or go to an era post-Harry Potter, maybe exploring the next generation of wizards while focusing on Harry and Ginny's kids? In regards to Secrets of Dumbledore, what character stood out to you? I think Roxy just said hers, which was Jessica Williams as Laylee Hicks. I would probably point out Jude Law as Albus Dumbledore. He's good, and he's good to look at, and he's just a charismatic, good actor. He's just good at what they do. And as far as characters, actors that stood out, Ezra Miller stood out, but not for a good reason. And also, I believe earlier I just said they do use they them pronouns. I'm sorry, I keep messing it up. I think it's because they play they like Barry Allen and this character, but I apologize for messing that up.
I think that my favorite stuff is Hogwarts.
And that's the thing is, so Harry Potter has a very clear, we're at the school, that's our setting, and we're going with these characters through the years they grew up. There's a natural arc there. We're on Harry's journey. It's his hero's journey, but it's also his growing up journey. These movies don't have any of that. We're barely at Hogwarts. Newt's an adult, and he's not these movies aren't changing him in any way. Like,
it doesn't seem like he even really cares too much. Like, he's sort of like, oh, gotta go do this.
And also, I find Newt excruciating to watch. Like, sorry, Eddie Redmayne. Newt just bothers me as a character. Like, I don't like spending time with him.
It's an interesting choice that they made. I remember reading an article about the decision that they made to put him on the spectrum. And that's like the lack of eye contact and all of the things that are happening. But I don't know why. I'm with you, DJ, that like he's not resonating with me and they're never speaking about those things. So I don't know why certain decisions were made to bring like light to different kinds of people, which would be great if we were actually addressing any of that. But instead, he's just one of the main ways for anybody who's ever taken any kind of acting class, like one of the main ways that you connect with other performers is through eye contact. Yeah. And this is a character that we've decided does not make eye contact with anybody. But then nobody addresses that and we don't talk about it. And we're not talking about his lack of connection with people. And so, or whatever it is that they're trying to portray, it's never spoken about. So instead we just have a main character that I'm like, I don't get you, and I want to, but I don't get you. And the movie is not doing you any favors to try and make us, relate or connect in any way.
So let's go on a quick I agree, Roxy, but let's go on a quick ad break, and then we come back, we're gonna go jump off that question some more and talk about the potential future for this franchise. We're back. I want to jump off Leonard's question, Jaina. Is there any future, and I'm not talking about, obviously there's a future for this franchise as long as it makes money. The business side of it, yes, I understand that. As far as like fans that might be conflicted with the J.K. Rowling of it all, and for those that I don't know, if you've been listening to the show, we've talked about it. In the past few years, J.K. Rowling has become viciously transphobic. I've since learned that I guess the U.K. has a thriving TERF community that apparently she is a part of. And so it's like, I feel like there's a lot, it's similar, they're different, but there's similarities, I feel like, between the Joss Whedon and the Buffy situation, where Buffy and Harry Potter mean a lot of positive things to a lot of people, and this creator is a not good person.
No good Nick.
No good Nick, but also, you know, in this movie, like end credits, like J.K. Rowling's like her story, she wrote it, her fingerprints are on this thing.
She is at the premiere. She is taking pictures.
Yeah, it's like there's not, you can't, it's hard to separate this art from the artist. Is there something they can do? And also, as somebody that read the books and enjoyed them, is there something you would like to see?
Okay. Yes, this is a very, very complex question. So I think the first thing that I want to say is, you know, everyone here is an adult, and I assume the majority of people, you know, watching you are adults, and even the people that are teens can still think for themselves. So this is a decision that, you know, I think people need to come to on their own as to what they can do. I do think that a lot of the times people who do still support stuff like this, I think it's based on, I would say, two factors. I was thinking about this when you asked me, you know, to be on this show.
Yeah.
So I think one factor is just not really understanding the extent of like what she does, and like how it affects people, especially if it's like not someone that maybe you have, maybe don't have any friends that are like, maybe you support trans people, but you just don't really know any trans people.
Yeah.
So like there are examples of like recent, like very, like a week or two ago, she was even seen, you know, she has a bunch of pictures where she's hanging out with these other women, and they're all from a hate group. Like they're literally from a hate group who have said, they've said words that I don't even think I can say on this because they're like demonetize you or whatever, but basically about trans people. So that's like, and she's also another thing that I just want to quickly say is like, she's promoted this doctor who's transphobic, but also like the doctor claimed to have worked for this clinic. And then when people ask the clinic, they're like, this guy never worked for us. So like, she's promoting liars too and charlatans.
Yeah.
So she is causing harm demonstrably. And she is active, and she's also actively involved in this franchise. She is, like you said, the writer. So this is something that's very important to keep in mind, is that like, her hands are like tied in this. It's not like it's not like Stan Lee where like, made the series and other people are working on it.
Yeah.
I think that would be a very different conversation. So that's one thing. The other thing is, I think, nostalgia. And I think even the DC conversation that we had earlier, I think is really important. I think it can also tie into this. I think nostalgia blinds people in some ways.
No.
Yeah, right. And so I think this is something to really keep in mind that, like, you know, something in your childhood will give you good feelings. That thing's still there. You can go back and read the Harry Potter books. You can go back and watch the Harry Potter movies. Great. But there's a person, like there's a franchise now that's not doing so great. That's written by a person who has become pretty, you know, vitriolic, and is actively like working against a very vulnerable minority group. And it's like, there are ways to still enjoy it without having to sort of like resurrect a corpse and like parade it around.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So is there something, so you mentioned the Stan Lee situation and this is not me trying to, I've enjoyed some of the Harry Potter movies, and I appreciate the positive things they've done for people, but I personally don't care if it goes away. So this is more of a, I'm just asking the questions kind of a thing. You mentioned the Stan Lee situation. If this was a situation where Warner Brothers, who I don't know whatever deal they have with J.K. Rowling, but let's say it's like most creator deals where they could be like, bye-bye, we will give you a paycheck, but your name's not on this anymore. If they, let's say they were to do that, like I think the Harry Potter game that's in development,
right,
by all appearances, she does not have much involvement in, or like they were to make an HBO Max show that it's set in the Harry Potter world, but beyond that, she doesn't have any involvement. Does that, and like you said, everybody has to make their own decisions, but for you, do you think that changes the equation at all?
The more distant it would be from her, the more I might be like interested in it, but yeah. I don't know. Like, cause there's also, I'm also thinking like if Warner Brothers like did oust Rowling, she'd of course make a big stink about it.
She would.
On Twitter. And then like,
and the she'd fans become a martyr still, online. And
the people who still follow her because of her personality would like, then they wouldn't want to watch it. And then I don't know how many people would be like, yeah, now let's go. Like how many people who are opposing it for moral reasons,
yeah,
would they like all like want to come back? Probably not. So it's probably like not even a good move financially for them to even do that.
Yeah.
I mean, but when does finance and morals ever like, you know, line up? Never really. But that, it's a great question. And I think I've made my peace that like, I just really, I got what I got out of the Harry Potter franchise. There are other franchises out there. I can enjoy other magical worlds. I'm really into Elden Ring right now.
Yeah.
I think also that I feel more of a soft spot for the movies because there's a lot of really cool people that worked in them that were not her, that are still like being awesome today. And I feel really good about, and I think there's like a lot of iconic moments from the movies, like a lot of really quotable lines. So like, I feel like I have, if I want to engage in Harry Potter, I can.
Yeah.
Like it's still there. I think like any person who feels compelled to make their entire personality around one franchise, like, you know, like maybe try another franchise. Like you can still like that, but you can like some other stuff too. And like, there's other stuff, and maybe you'll even see some ways in which the franchise wasn't like the most perfect franchise ever. Cause I think there's this sort of idea that like, well, it was the best franchise as a kid, so that means it's the best franchise ever. Well, it's not the best franchise ever. It never was the best franchise ever. Even the first book is pretty flawed.
Yeah, and I am not the best person for this because I'm not the most literate. But I guarantee that there's other young adult magical world fantasy out there that is probably pretty gosh dang good. I guarantee it. So we could give some of those people a shot, maybe. And we talked a little bit about this before the show went on. I do not know that this would change the moral equation in any way, but it is even harder to justify when of the three of us, Roxy, you are the you like the movie the most, and it seemed like your praise was, it was fine.
Yeah. I'm not like attached to these movies in any way. I don't think, for whatever reason, their creator agreement with JK seemingly is very different than the
pretty much we've had in the past. Anybody else. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if Warner Brothers wanted to ditch her. I do not think that they could continue to make these movies. That is my understanding.
Yeah.
And I think the ideal situation would be obviously that we just she goes away and they can take over creatively and financially, and she does not profit from these, but that's not what's happening. I don't know how legally or logistically it works. Like, if you are involved in something, but then you are found guilty of a crime versus like, you are a bad human being versus, you know, I just don't know how all of it works. I do think that it is really jarring when we see her, though. Like, when I was watching the Harry Potter special, was that what it's called? You guys know what I'm talking about, the HBO Max special thing? And she's being interviewed, and I'm just fasting forward through her parts, because it's like, I don't care what you have to say. I understand you're the creator, but I'm not going to sit and listen to you because you spew bullshit. So
and it's so strange. And again, it connects with me to the different situations, but the Joss Whedon situation, where you, like, there are elements of this movie. There's some problematic elements. There's a little bit of Orientalism at the end. We go to this, like, one of those classic, like, the city on the hill kind of a thing with I don't know where it's supposed to be set, but it's clearly, like, for those that like genre fiction, what was the place in Iron Fist, Roxy, where he's supposed to get the iron fist, the magical land?
All I keep thinking is the circle. I don't know where the fist.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but like Nanda Parbat, all those stuff. There's very much vibes where like, oh, I thought we'd stop doing this, but okay, I guess we're doing it again.
What was that place called?
But it is weird that, like, also worth mentioning, Grindelwald's whole bit is like, only magical blood, and we're like, bad Grindelwald. But then, like, literally every hero character is like, wow, poor, that's a good bloodline, that's an important bloodline. It's like, well, okay, Grindelwald didn't come out of nowhere. Okay, you all are way too into each other's bloodlines.
There's some interesting themes that could be explored here that, like, she's just unironically, like, not
even but there's parts of the movie where it's talking about accepting people and all that stuff, and then you just think about the stance this person has taken, and it's like, I don't know how your brain does that. And to your earlier point, Jaina, it's not just like she's being a jerk. Like, she's doing harm. Like, you look, a lot of the not that she's directly involved with this, but she's part of the rhetorical storm, you know, with a lot of the legislation that's coming through. And
if I can actually step in real quick right here,
please.
It is, the correlation is very strong that when she came out publicly as transphobic, that is like right at the start of when everything started getting really bad for trans people.
Yeah.
It is very like the timelines like sync up perfectly.
Yeah.
So either it's a massive coincidence or a billionaire was able to like use her influence for bad reasons.
Yeah. And what were you going to say, Roxy?
It just reminds me a lot of, obviously it's a little different, but it reminds me a lot of the Mel Gibson situation for Jews, where it was right when he started coming out as being like, as not believing the Holocaust happened, where there was so much anti-Semitism around and so much support for him at the time. And he's not as big of a creator as she is, obviously. Yeah. But I totally, I feel for any marginalized group of people who has a fucking hater out there that people root for and love and support and idolize, because I don't know as a society how do we get rid of that? Like, if you are not a good person, how do we not continue to make you profit even if you've made a good product?
Yeah.
I don't know what
it's an unjust world, unfortunately. And I think like there is a level where like, like she did make a good product and she does deserve to be paid for that. But like,
it's so much bigger than she is. So I guess you are right legally, but the word deserves, it's like,
there's a compliment.
Well, and then there's the added layer of like, listen, this woman is doing really bad stuff, so instead, I want that money going to this big soulless corporation. It's like, oh, so it's a lose-lose we're talking about here is what we said.
Right, but she withheld the truth, and she was the same person when she was creating this stuff, and had she been open about who she was when she was making this product initially, it wouldn't have received the support it did.
Yeah.
So it's on false pretenses that we all supported what she made. And I think that that's where I'm like, this is not somebody who was openly a fucking TERF for years and then created Harry Potter. And we were all like, yes, Harry Potter. This was somebody who pretended to be somebody who was about love and told storylines of people who were different. And it's okay to be different and be you. And then came out and had so much hatred in her heart after we had been invested in her for over a decade. So it doesn't feel like somebody who, if you are who you are from the beginning and you make a product and you make money off that, that's one thing. But mm-hmm. you lied about who you were.
And there's actually a really good support for that, Roxy. There's a creator, Sean, on YouTube, S-H-A-U-N, I think. Because there's like five of them, always you can spell Sean, mm-hmm. Who did a video on Harry going through the Harry Potter series, and he points out like warning signs.
Yeah.
And I think like that this is again like nostalgia blinds, you know. And so it's like this idea that like she has a character, Rita Skeeter, who is like kind of like a trans caricature. If you look at her, there she has characters that exhibit pretty racist ideas. And a lot of this idea is like she was progressive for the 90s, mm-hmm. but we're in 2020 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
And it also one of, you know, those things where the seeds were there, but then that bank account swelled up, and then it's the same thing. Like, I don't know if Dave Chappelle from a couple years ago is transphobic, but then he makes a couple jokes and then he decides, well, people are challenging me on this, and instead of like examining myself, I'm going to triple down on this, and now he is, you know what I mean? Like, now that's where we're at. Now choices were made and we can't go back. And this also goes back to, I think, the creator I respect most. Jane, it was Bill Watterson that created Calvin and Hobbes?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he had the common sense to revolutionize the industry he was in, and then he fucked right off. And then he was like, cool, peace out. I'm not gonna do any branding for this shit. I don't know if I have that integrity. Close second is Alan Moore, where it's just like, I'm gonna make what I'm gonna make. You better take my name right the fuck. Zack Snyder's gonna make a fashion version of my story. Fuck right off. Take my name off that thing. I don't want the money you were gonna give me. Give it to my co-creator. I don't want anything to do with that. It's like, I respect that. I don't know if I'd have the balls to do it, but I respect it.
I wish. How do we get JK to do that?
Just.
I don't want my name on that, and I don't want your money.
Take the product.
She exhibited a trend of never ever backing down on anything ever.
I know.
So it's some people you just can't reach.
I know. And I don't understand. I wish that somebody could explain this to me too. Like, why, if those are your thoughts, and I'm not saying you're a better person if you have those thoughts and you don't say them out loud, because if they're your thoughts, those are your thoughts. But why is she so vocal? Like, why can't she shut the fuck up?
Great question. Something that I was even thinking about recently, like, she has never, now if she has some identity that she's not revealed to us, fine. But like, as far as I'm aware, she has never once identified as any form of LGBT identity. Yeah. So it's like, this is not even her fight.
Right. Right.
And so it appears that, yeah, it's like, why is she so vocal? It kind of seems like bigotry is the only answer that we can come to. It's like, why are people so anti-immigrant?
Yeah.
Like, they're not even affecting you. It's bigotry. You know, it's like at the end of the day, like, it just seems like there's a level of like where you get to the point where when you're invested in an ideal that like this group is superior to another group, you just can't see anything else other than that.
Yeah.
I think it's because she's not being negatively impacted.
Yeah.
And if we figured out a way to negatively impact somebody who is full of hate, then maybe they would stop.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't change their ideals, maybe the point isn't to change how she thinks, because we're clearly not going to do that. But the point is so that she shuts up long enough so that she doesn't convince other people that she's right.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want her being the leader of a group of hate. So it's like, how do we shut somebody up? And we haven't figured that out.
I think to your Mel Gibson example, is like, I don't know that he created any of those people. It's just those people weren't talking. And then he started talking. And it's like, well, maybe now it's okay. And it's like, don't do that. And I would like it if everybody would look at the situation and be like, it doesn't matter whether I feel like this impacts me or not. I need to support my fellow human beings. That is my ideal world. But beyond that, as a, on a pragmatic level, if you're sitting here going, well, I don't really care if she's transphobic, understand that these things, these legislations, these attacks on marginalized communities don't stop there. That is a way for these groups to mobilize their base do more and more harm to more and more people. I don't know that should be part, that shouldn't matter. You shouldn't want anybody to be unfairly maligned or hurt or attacked. But beyond that, it is only a matter of time for this stuff to grow. It's
already doing it.
Yeah,
homophobic pushback has already increased because after the transphobic.
Yeah, and so it's one of those. So if people are like, I listen to this show to hear you talk about superheroes and stuff. Why are you talking about this? Because it affects us. It's scary, and so if J.K. Rowling's allowed to get out there and spread all this hate, we should be allowed to get out there and be like, no, thank you, I don't want that. Let's take care of each other, and especially to your point, Jaina, at the basis level, it doesn't affect this situation affects you, but for like people like me, if somebody like me could be like, well, that doesn't affect me, it's like, exactly. So just let people be. It doesn't affect you. Just let people be. Nobody's right. Hurting you. Nobody's coming after you. Nobody's targeting you. It doesn't matter what the manosphere says online. Nobody's coming for you. You're fine. So just chill out and let people live their lives. And if somebody is trying to keep somebody from living their life, just living their life, not hurting anybody, consensual adults doing consensual adult things, that person's a bad person. Make those people stop.
This is exactly my question about JK DJ. That's exactly what I keep thinking about. It's like, who's asking you? Like, you just keep speaking and nobody's affecting you. You're affecting so many lives and nobody's asking you. Like,
I think it's impossible for us to say because the human mind is a mystery. But also, I think of all those anti-vax people, those very vocal, specifically the COVID anti-vax. Jaina, you mentioned earlier how J.K. Rowling's associating with the doctors that are liars. It's like, well, that's all the COVID. You're like, oh, I studied here, and then you look and you're like, no, you didn't. What are you talking about? You're lying. But nobody checks them. Joe Rogan doesn't vet these people. And I think it goes back to your point, Roxy, of they are in a circle where they're getting positive reinforcement for saying these things. They're being treated as possibly heroic, and us rabble who are like, you're evil, that we don't matter to them. And I don't know, I mean, fucking Louis C.K. is getting Grammys. I don't know how consequences work for any of these people. I don't know what that world looks like. Period. I don't know. I think I don't know what we can do about it. Bye, everybody. I don't know what to say.
So can I share some encouraging stuff?
Please, yeah. Please.
So we talked earlier about how Britain is a hive of scum and villainy.
Yes, it's a haven for these people. Yeah,
it is. They are a vocal minority. They've done. I've read many polls in the past few weeks, and they are the minority.
Yeah.
Especially even more so in Scotland. And the thing is, they just happen to have a lot of people in power. So a lot of this is like people in power are enabling the few to have like the voice. So they had this recent controversy in Britain about they passed like a bill banning conversion therapy for gay clients, but not for trans people. Mm. And it's like they did polls and it's like 70% of people like want the ban to include trans people. But because of the people in power don't want it, then it doesn't happen. People are like, people's minds are changing. People are coming around to understanding that like trans people are normal people. And like, you're probably gonna have a friend that's trans and like, you're gonna, you know, or even if you don't, like you just care about people and you just want people to be happy. And so that's like really encouraging. And also like, it's also just fun to occasionally like look at J.K. Rowling's Twitter follower metrics. I mean, sure, she has spikes here and there, but she's lost a lot. Yeah. So,
well, and I can't imagine this movie doing well. I don't know what that looks like in pandemic numbers, but
have you heard about they're possibly halting the series at this point?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about, is that they're kind of seeing how this one does. And it's like, at the very least, I don't have high expectations for any corporation. Take a break. Just take a break. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit. Let
how
the dust
old
settle.
Is she?
Too young. Too young. Let's wrap this up. Jaina, I appreciate you bringing up those positive things. Before we go, any final thoughts?
I think just remembering that something I've said a previous time is that when I was with all of us on Roxy's channel is like, you know, we flourish together or we suffer together.
Yeah.
You know, like you might think, oh, okay, like a person of a different race, a person of a different gender, a person of a different sexuality, that doesn't affect me at all. You think big picture.
Yeah.
When people's rights are taken away from them, that doesn't mean that your rights are any more secure. When people that you love are having like oppression and violence towards them, that doesn't make your life any better either.
Yeah.
It's like everyone, you know, we as a world need to work together towards these things. And unfortunately, there's gonna be people in the way that that are creating really good art even. Yeah. But it isn't, you know, like what they're doing with their fame and their money isn't always a good thing.
Yep. And as you mentioned with the J.K. Rowling situation where she's surrounded by people in power, don't think just because the marginalized community they're picking on isn't you, that they're on your side, because they are not. They are not. They are on their own side. Roxy, final thoughts. Where can the kids find you?
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer. I don't have any final thoughts. I don't have any final thoughts. I have positive thoughts for the world. I think that the best way to fight hate is with love and just scream it from the rooftop. So yeah. That's what I'll continue to do.
There you go. You can find me at DJ Talks Trash. You can follow the show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter.
You ain't got the vowels from stupid.
If you want to hear Roxy and I talk about the other shows and movies and stuff that we're into, I'm going to talk about everything everywhere all at once. Just so fucking good. We'll do that over at what we're into over at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Jaina, thank you for being a part of this discussion. And we will see you all next time.